Summit County Council traveling to Echo to welcome the arrival of Big Boy number 4014 tomorrow morning before traveling back to the county courthouse Wednesday morning for a work session. That'll start at about 11:45. In the studio with a preview, I have Summit County Manager Tom Fisher. Good morning.
Good morning, Leslie. Yes, Spike 150 is coming.
Yeah, so anything planned specifically for the council's greeting of the Big Boy?
Well, I mean, it's a large event because Big Boy is coming through. It'll actually stop for 15 minutes in Echo. There's going to be food trucks available on site. We're expecting somewhere between 2,000 and 3,000 folks to show up to watch the train go by. And then there's some other ancillary things going on. There's an art show in the old church, and some other things that'll be happening there, as well as some brief remarks by some folks regarding the event.
Okay, have you been to the site? I mean, what's it like? I know it's like a two-lane narrow road getting there in and out.
There's not much in Echo on a normal basis. However, we are ramping that up a little bit. There'll obviously be some traffic control available there, but you know, we'll have portable bathrooms and a tent for some of the talks and things like that. 800 school children from North Summit School District will be there to watch the train go by as well and see some of the folks that are riding on that. So, it's just one of the many events that are going on around the state as part of this celebration of the 150th anniversary of the Transcontinental Railroad being completed. So
there will be some presentations?
There will be. There's been a book written by some South Summit school children that has been making its way around the county and around the state. That will be presented, as well as some history related to the Chinese railroad workers that were part of the process back in the day.
Okay. Let's see. Later on, the council will be discussing a new position for the sustainability department for an energy and data analyst. Why do you need this position in addition to what Lisa Yoder does?
Well, you know, Lisa, we've got a very ambitious program in sustainability, and a lot of the work that we have been doing for the last couple of years has been a lot of outreach. Outreach may not be the right word, but outward projection of work, working with the legislature, working with other municipalities and counties to advance the 100% renewable energy goals for both the community and for government operations. And that work continues with, especially with Rocky Mountain Power, to bring those plans to fruition. And they're going to take several years to bring those about. And it's a lot of policy work in order to make that happen. So there's a balance between that and some of the internal work that needs to be done in order to make government operations more efficient and bring down the greenhouse gas emissions of those operations. So this position is really to be concentrating on internal operations in order to achieve those government goals that the council has set.
Okay. Now, this is in the budget with a placeholder of, what, a $60,000 salary?
That's correct. The council wanted to work with the health department and the sustainability area in order to make sure that we had the right definition of this position as we move through the process this year. We've been working on that with Rich Bulla and Lisa Yoder, and they're ready to bring that forward now.
Okay. And then why is Health Director Rich Bulla part of this presentation?
So, because our sustainability department works under the Health Department, we believe there's a good connection there, and especially with moving the sustainability under the auspices of public health, they've really been able to blossom that department and bring forth a lot more results.
Okay. Well, speaking of positions, what about the county museum director? I know that you weren't funding that. Will you for next year, though?
Oh, no. It is funded in the 2019 budget. As you'll recall, Navi Vernon retired this year. And so we wanted to step back and look at the total program. Everything from the museum in Colville to the documentation of history that we've been doing in the past, And then the large collection of items, photos, documents, everything that we have that probably needs to be properly archived in order to make sure that that's available in the future and digitized and all the things that are modern about making sure that those are preserved. So we're taking that time during this year as we move into the budget process for 2020 to really re-look at the whole historical department and what it does and what it will do in the future so that we can properly budget for that and make sure that we have the program set the way the council wants it.
Yeah, are you thinking it needs to be more than a part-time position?
Well, it's been a full-time position for several years. That could be the case. We haven't made any grand determinations on that. We haven't even put together our recommendations yet, so we're still working on that analysis.
Okay. Let's see. Later on in tomorrow's meeting, Utah Local Government Trust will present a TAP, a Trust Accountability Program Award, to Jason Watterson. So who's Jason and what's this award?
Jason Watterson is the one that's presenting the award on the behalf of the trust. It's an annual award that is given based on our ability to control risk and reduce injuries or lost work time related to safety. So we had a pretty good year last year, so we're excited to see this award come back and give back some of our annual premiums that we pay into the trust.
Okay. Later on, a mental health authority area plan. Apparently, this is required from the county every year.
It is. The nexus is area plan equals Medicaid funding and state block grant funding. This plan basically lays out what it is that is being agreed between the Department of Substance Abuse and Mental Health and Summit County in order for those funds to flow to the programs that are agreed to. So it's an annual requirement. This is kind of an interim step for us because the department has allowed us to turn in kind of an interim plan as we go through the transition between Value Behavioral Health and the University of Utah Health Systems. We'll probably be looking at this again, or at least our staff will be looking at this again and refining it once that transition is complete. So we'll probably see it again as well.
Okay, and then an agreement on interconnections under the Western Summit County Project. Apparently the responsibility for interconnection, the operations, maintenance, and repair fell on Weber Basin Water Conservancy District. Under the new agreement, though, it falls on the entity that is supplied by the connection. So
there's a part of the 2013 agreement that makes it so Weber Basin's responsible for everything. But the problem is that they're not actually physically located and working within the county yet. So until those facilities that are built for interconnection match up with Weber Basin actually being and operating in Summit County, which is a future decision to be made. The entities that actually operate those interconnect facilities would like to have more say in how they're built and how they operate, because they're the ones that are going to be operating them until that part of the agreement kicks in. All these local entities, Park City, Mountain Regional Water, and Summit Water, have agreed that that's a good thing. So they're ready to move forward with this agreement.
Okay. So in the meantime, Weber Basin has been paying for it, or?
Well, they still have financial responsibility for it. It's just from the standpoint of the actual physical operations of it, so that our local folks know how to do that.
Okay. Because we do have some kind of connection happening, right?
Oh, yeah. There's already interconnect, and there's going to be more facilities built over time to even make that system more sophisticated.
All right. Let's see. Anything else on the agenda you wanted to mention?
Not so much on the agenda. There's just, we already mentioned the Spike 150 event in Echo tomorrow, but also on this weekend there's an art day in Colville that is going to be working with the health department, The Department of Natural Resources, the school district, as well as our Summit County Park City Arts Council, to do some sidewalk art and wall art in Colville with the school children there. It's going to be a 4-hour event between 10 and 2 on the 11th.
Okay. Also, just wanted to ask you about, I understand that we've got city planner Kirsten Whetstone moving over to the county?
That's what I understand. I don't know what the start date is. I just have heard that an arrangement has been made. She's going to leave Park City and join the team at Summit County, and we're pretty excited about that.
Well, and I know she's been with Park City. I mean, she's got to be 20 years, 25 years, actually. You guys are better payers than.
No, I'm not. I don't know what level of decision making went into that for Kirsten. We're just happy that she's joining the team.
Okay, Tom, thank you.
Thank you.
Summit County Manager Tom Fisher, you're listening to the Local News Hour here on KPCW. This month's presenter for Wednesday's free Lunch and Learn at the PC Mark is acupuncturist and Chinese medicine practitioner Miley McCain. She joins me now in the studio. Good morning, Miley.
Good morning.
So the presentation will be held tomorrow, Wednesday, from noon to 1 at the Mark. This month's topic is the treatment of mental health disorders using traditional Chinese medicine. So maybe talk just a little bit about how traditional Chinese medicine helps, I guess in comparison to what we use traditionally, pharmaceuticals.
Right. People who are going through mental health issues now are being referred to having more people and creating a team. And that team is including things like yoga, tai chi, exercise, and mindfulness. And so people are moving into treating their body, not just treating their mind. And that's what Chinese medicine is about. It is that the mind and the body are one. And in our treatments, we treat the mind and the body together at the same time.
So you work maybe with a therapist or perhaps a medical doctor for one person who may be suffering. And what are we talking about? I mean, are we talking about just, I guess not major mental health issues, but some of the ones that you see a lot of? Stress, anxiety?
Yeah. So almost everybody that comes in with a component of stress and anxiety. So even if it's a digestive issue or an orthopedic issue, they have some kind of, just mental health concern as well. And it might be more minor, but I've also treated people who are in the throes of major depression. And yes, I definitely recommend that people stick with their doctor and that I am part of a team. But it's really interesting when people receive a treatment that is actually treating their body and changing their nervous system through their body, how it affects their mind.
Yeah, so how does acupuncture do that? I mean, because you're treating the body, but through the nervous system?
Yeah, so it's really interesting to think about this idea of putting a needle into your body. What does your body do? And it is going to have a response. And that response is mediated through the nervous system. And it's really amazing how quickly people will feel themselves relax in a treatment. The ancients really figured something out, that we can access our body, our nervous system, through just the tiniest little change, and we can feel better.
Yeah. I mean, the needle is so, I mean, it doesn't even go very deep, so it's not even going through the skin, but it's just...
No, it goes through the skin.
So it's the position of the needle?
You know, that's a little bit debatable. So basically, the ancients looked at the stars, and they applied the map of the stars to the human body. And so when you look at the meridians with the points, you can see it looks like a star chart, essentially. So taking these mythical ideas to our modern lives, but this idea that there are places in our body that have a collection of nerves and blood vessels, and so that the response is going to be stronger. And that's what the acupuncture points are, a place of a collection of nerves and vessels that elicits a response that creates a change in the moment.
Mm-hmm. And so somebody suffering from anxiety, I mean, what are some of the top things that they can do besides seeing you for the physical acupuncture?
So whenever you're dealing with a mental health issue, you really need to create a rhythm in your body. And when you have a rhythm, your body can calm down. It's the same as you do for your child. You go to bed at the same time. You wake at the same time. You eat at the same time. You exercise at the same time. And what I notice in Park City is we have so many fun things to do that we just wind up getting all over the map. And we start to feel overwhelmed and crazed. But if we can come back to our center, create a rhythm, it's amazing how things fall into place.
Hmm. Okay. And I guess at some point in terms of besides the acupuncture, do you also, and I don't know if prescribe is the right word, but traditional Chinese medicine?
Yes.
And so, what does that look like?
So I'm an herbalist. I'm a certified herbalist, and I've been working with this for over 14 years. And it's really interesting to look at somebody and whether it's a depressive state or an anxiety state, and to see how plants can help. So herbs are just the parts of plants that we cannot digest by eating them. We cannot digest bark. We cannot digest most roots and, you know, the insides of a lot of seeds. So we just cook it into a tea, and now we can put it in a tablet form and take it that way. And our bodies and plants know how to talk to each other. And there's just thousands of years of use of these plants, and they know how our bodies respond. Many of the plants are high in vitamin B, which we know helps with anxiety, for example.
Hmm. Okay, so again, you're going to be the Lunch and Learn guest. It's at a free presentation at the Mark, noon to 1 p.m. Anything else you'd like to say about it?
Please come and bring your questions. I would love for it to be a little bit more of a Q&A, not just me talking for an hour. These ideas of what is health and wellness and how to get better are things that I think about all the time, and I would love to just have a broader discussion about all of this, not just me lecturing for an hour.
Okay. Hey, Miley, thank you.
Thanks.
That's Miley McCain, again, a local acupuncturist and Chinese medicine practitioner. You're listening to the Local News Hour on KPCW. KPCW News Time now, 8:52. Good morning. Well, coming up this Saturday, the students at the Ballet West Park City Academy presenting their spring recital. On the phone with details, I have campus administrator Sandy Fleury. Good morning, Sandy.
Good morning, Leslie.
So just one show this year?
Actually, there's a 1 o'clock and a 6 o'clock, so two shows on the same day.
Okay, and this is happening at the Park City Eccles Center?
Correct, at the Eccles Center, and it's a combination of the first half of the show is a showcase of all styles of dance, and then the second half of the show is Sleeping Beauty, Aurora's Wedding, and it's a ballet.
Okay. How much are tickets?
Tickets are $15 and can be purchased through 22tix, that's TUTUTIX.com.
Okay. How many kids do you have participating?
Oh, about 250.
Oh, my goodness.
It's a small group.
These are all students then at the academy?
Yes, these are all students, and we do have one visiting student from the campus in Salt Lake.
All right.
As a male, and partnering with our female.
All right. So does the Ballet West Academy focus on more than just ballet then?
We do. More so up here in Park City than down in Salt Lake. We have tap, contemporary jazz and hip hop, and then of course the children's program is more creative and rhythm.
Okay, and that's done just because that was what you, I guess that's what you presented. Yeah, before
right.
The academy came up. Yeah, so basically everyone who takes a lesson performs at the recital?
At this show, yes. This is different than our Nutcracker. The Nutcracker is a smaller cast and through auditions. This is the entire our entire academy. Everyone that takes class all through the year gets a chance to perform on the stage. We do double cast so that the show's not super long. So we have some students that are just in the matinee and some students that are just in the evening.
Sure. Okay. And then, so what do you? What happens during the summer? Do you guys just take it all off, or?
No, we offer camps. We offer fantasy camps for age 3 to 6, and then pop star camps for 7 to 11 year olds. And then we do a 3-week intensive ballet. Includes a different style each day, but basically really focuses on the ballet technique.
Okay. Let's see. And then in terms of auditions for the Ballet West Nutcracker, it's an opportunity for local kids to try out as well?
It is in the one down in Salt Lake. It gets a little bit confusing because Salt Lake obviously does the big Nutcracker at the Capitol Theater. We do the Park City Nutcracker. And yes, someone from outside the studio could audition, but typically it's our students that study here up here in Park City.
Okay. Anything else people should know?
It's going to be a great show. I've been watching the last rehearsals, and it's going to be a great show. We invite everybody to come join us. 1 o'clock, 6 o'clock. You can purchase tickets at the door. Be early, though, because we do draw a pretty large crowd there. So parking can sometimes be an issue.
Okay. Sandy, thanks for your time.
Hey, thank you, Leslie, and have a great day.
That's Sandy Fleur, the campus administrator with the Ballet West Park City Academy. KPCW News Time now, 8:57.